Hey, good day, everybody. This is We Watch Stuff number 75. I don't know if it's quickly approaching 100, but we are. So I'm Jeremy. On the other end, as always, is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Getting ready to enjoy my vacation. I'm off until Monday.
Oh, nice. Wait a minute. That means you're going to start that goofy shift again, though, right?
No. I'll still be mornings next week. I won't be evenings again till the week after, and that's only for 1 week.
All right, cool. Well, that works. Okay. I was like, "What the hell?" Just you surprised me with that. After all the problems I was just talking about with the laptop, all of a sudden I get a pop up message. I was like, "You got to be kidding!" But so, anyways, this is the show. Hopefully, you're still listening. That's taken a while to pop up. So we'll go with something we were going to talk about. Where do you want to start? We didn't talk about something important last week. Or was it 2 weeks ago?
Maybe last week.
And then another important thing popped up late last week after we recorded. So I don't know. What do you want to start with? John Wick 2? Or do we want to get into Rogue One?
I want to start with John Wick 2 because that was really the first thing we've really heard, like the first thing we've seen of it, like first teaser trailer, any type of trailer.
Yeah, it was because they had a small teaser, and then they finally gave out like the full length preview, which didn't really tell us a whole lot though.
Yeah, but before all we got was just casting and pictures, and that's it really. And, you know, I know we joke about, like, movie dates and movie times. This movie will be out, you know, around Valentine's. It's funny, I guess Valentine's Day is the new, you know, you're going to put a hardcore action movie out. Because Deadpool came out Valentine's Day this past year weekend, and John Wick 2 is coming out Valentine's Day next year.
And it's funny because that used to be the dead period for stuff. Although, people forget that Ace Ventura came out on Valentine's Day, which is...
I definitely forgot that.
Yes, I remember... me and the girl I was dating at the time, that's what we went and saw. And one of us enjoyed it way more than the other one, and you can figure that one out. So, I was already pretty hyped for this movie. I didn't realize it came out in February, so when it popped up, the date and that, realized that February is not that far off anymore since we're in the middle of October. Luckily, we've got Star Wars coming out, which we'll get to after this, to tide us over, because January is usually a dead period. That's like the beginning of pretty much next year's movie slate. But more importantly, I just want to see where this story goes now, because I loved the first one, and this one is given no reason that this isn't going to be just as awesome. Especially the final scene of the trailer, where he's at what looks like to be a dinner party. He just crashes it, and all of a sudden, all the bodyguards have guns on him. That was, you know, pretty badass. So,
yeah, it definitely just seems like, you know, everything you like about the first one with a bigger budget, because the first one kind of came out of nowhere. Like, you know, I first heard of the movie when they were like, "Oh, it's showed by South by Southwest," and it's kind of like the best action movie I've seen since The Raid and yada yada yada. It's kind of like, you know, people throw hyperbole around, but you kept hearing it over and over again. Like, you know, this is like Keanu Reeves' best movie since the first Matrix, and this is just so dope. And after a while, it's kind of like, okay, the last time you heard talk like this was when The Raid came out, and you saw how that turned out. So, but beyond that, I didn't hear anything about the movie. It kind of just snuck up, and then I saw the movie, and I was like, this is just, they don't make movies like this anymore. Like, this is just an awesome movie. And I was glad that it was as good as I thought it'd be. I was glad that it actually did well. I'm not surprised that they did a sequel, you know, but it's funny that this is a thing. Like, you know, like I'm wondering how well John Wick 2 will do. It's kind of because now it's kind of like, you know, everybody knows the character. Everybody kind of loved the movie. And it seems like, you know, like they have a tie of what makes the character work. It's kind of like, okay, we got more money to spend. We don't have to spend $100 million. But the first movie was what was the budget? $17, $20 million.
That's what I'm looking up, actually.
Yeah.
Like, $20 million, and it made 86.
Yeah,
in the U.S., just in the U.S.
Yeah, like, you know, it was, it didn't have a high budget. It didn't need a high budget because it was just a well-done movie with practical effects. And say what you want about Keanu Reeves, but he's always been an action, like, he knows how to do action, and he takes it very seriously. And, like, you see him now, you know, doing his videos and keeping in shape to, like, you know, if I'm going to do this, I want it to look, you know, like I know how to do this. And, yeah, like, just the fact, you know, we're having another one that added more people, you know, like, I didn't know that Common's future was going to be, like, you know, an action anti-hero, action villain, but he seemed to found his niche in doing this, and kudos to him.
Yeah, I forgot who was actually cast in this movie, and saw him, I was like, oh, okay, figuring he's a bad guy, I guess. That's what, it almost, well, the second one that I totally forgot, and what's funny is the history was lost on me for a little bit, that Lawrence Fishburne's in it. Because it sounded like in the preview that they kind of changed their voices a tad bit. Or maybe it was just one of those psychological things where once Lawrence Fishburne shows up, I was like, oh yeah, that was his voice, wasn't it? And then the historical significance of these are the two leads from The Matrix. I totally blanked on that. And if somebody was like, yes, The Matrix guys are reunited, I was like, oh, God. That's pretty bad to forget something like that. But
it's been a long, I mean, Matrix came out, what, 98, 99?
Yeah, a long time.
It's a long-ass time ago, so. I mean, it's funny, like, you know, they had a whole bunch of casting stuff, and then you didn't hear anything from the movie, so you kind of forgot, oh, like, Peter Stormare is in it, or Ruby Rose is in it, you know, like, oh, I didn't even realize all these people are in this movie, and, like, you know, it looks gorgeous, it looks like it's the same action that we, you know, we love from the first one, just, you know, more money, and it always helps, like, you know, it helps to be successful. It's kind of like, you know, do what you did, we just give you a bigger budget, you know, have at it. And the beautiful thing is they have a universe in there already where they can explore it, but they didn't spend a whole bunch of time spelling everything out, which gives you space to run with, because even now it's kind of like, you know, he's going to Rome, what's going on in Rome, why is, you know, is there like a, I've read synopsis of the movies, I kind of like avoid it too much because I don't want to get spoiled by it, but it's enough for you to figure out what's going on but still be intrigued to, like, Why is their world the way it is? Because it's like, you know, New York and it's Rome, but they have its own set of, you know, I don't think I can go to a New York hotel and pull out a gold coin and, you know, go to a bar with a bunch of assassins.
I did like that the hotel concierge is back, which I'm wondering if that's back. Now, did they ever say directly where the first one took place?
Yeah, it's New York.
It was New York, okay. Yeah. I wanted to say New York, but then part of me went, maybe it's Los Angeles. But that's right. He was hiding out in upstate New York, basically. Well, not hiding out, but starting his retirement, I should say.
Like, they specifically was, like, you know, New York, Jersey area. And you can tell looking at it, they filmed it in, like, New York. Not one of those, we say it's in New York and film in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Type nonsense.
Well, like, every show on the CW now?
Or most shows that want to save money. Include, like, CW gets the flack, but they're just the latest. They weren't the first.
No, but it's, yeah, I'm having a hard time finding the budget for two. Now, let me back up. The first movie had a budget of $20 million. It made $86 million worldwide.
Yeah.
So I got to backtrack on that one. 43 here in the States, 42 foreign box office. And who knows, you know, since it's from 2014, can't really see, like, what
that sounded about. I mean, that sounded about right, because I remember when it came out that it made that amount of money. People were surprised because they weren't expecting that. I wouldn't be surprised if it made double that, you know, the sequel making double, just because everybody knows the character, everybody's excited about the movie. It's not one of those, oh, why they're just doing a sequel because it made money. It's like, no, they're doing a sequel because everybody asked them to make a sequel. Everybody enjoys making that movie, and it made money. Like, it's,
well, it helps that it made money, because a lot of people are asking for almost a Judge Dredd, but they're asking for a Dredd too, and that's never going to happen. I think, and honestly, by this point, I think the boat's kind of, you know, the ship sailed on that one. And
I would say that, but then I just remember that Ash versus Evil Dead is a thing. So, yes.
Which, by the way, have you caught up on that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, I just wanted to make sure before I said anything, in case we get the spoiler territory. But yeah, Ash versus Evil Dead something, but that's a smaller scale, and it that character's so endearing. That's, I mean, what was the first one for that? 80? 78, 80? Something ridiculous like that for Evil Dead? Like the show? No, I'm sorry, not the show. The movie, obviously. Let me see. I'm actually trying to get factually incorrect on stuff. 1981.
81, yeah.
And that's actually rated NC-17 now.
I'm not surprised.
How do you go retroactively and change the... Or was it rated X when it came out? I mean... I don't know. Now it's such a silly thing for, you know, it's rated NC-17 for violence, but it's such cartoonish violence.
But it's still violent. Like, and ratings were, did they even have, like, I know they didn't even have like PG-13 yet in 81. So it was kind of like they had PG, they had R and X, I'm assuming.
Yeah, PG-13.
Was because
Gremlins Temple of Doom. Yeah,
Temple of Doom was because that's where PG-13 came from, because it's kind of like, you know, it's not an R. Yeah, like it's not an R, but it's too violent to be PG, so they had to create one.
Yeah, which is hilarious because basically PG-13 became you can briefly show titties and you can say fuck twice. Anything more than that, well, no, now you gotta bump it up to R. That's eventually what it became, and now everything's PG-13. So that's where I blame most of the bloodless violence that came.
Bloodless violence, yep. The good old one. You can Uzi up a whole block as long as no one's bleeding.
You can drop a building on people as long as you don't show any limbs. So okay, cool. But anyways, getting back to John Wick, it's a different director this time. I'm trying to see if. Oh no, it's not. It's just credit, it's only credited to one director this time. The first movie was directed by David Leitch, L-E-I-T-C-H, and then Chad Stahelski. And this time, it is only credited as being directed by Stahelski. So, I don't know.
Well, Leitch is producing it. Probably kind of like he didn't go anywhere. It's like, you know, you can do this by yourself. Still has the same director-writer combo, more or less. So everybody's kind of like, you know, still in the same positions, like moving around the chairs.
Yeah, okay, so that does make me feel a little bit better. Just actually got a chance to look into it, but yeah, I think it's always important for these type of movies, especially these small ones that were. You would have to say it was a success. Made $84 million on $20 million budget. That's just in box office.
I count like DVDs and Blu-ray sales. Yeah. Where it's funny, people never bring that up. It's kind of like that's where the real money is, because they don't have to share as much, if any.
Yeah, and with that, I mean, I only rented it. I never went and bought it. Actually, I'll probably go out and buy it before the new one comes out, because Elise hasn't seen it yet, and I've been raving about it. So,
I bought it because it's one of the first movies that had Atmos. Is like it's sound mixing, where if you have overhead speakers, you get a bigger sound effect. Like you can hear the rain coming down. You can hear overhead like sound if you had the right system. Oh, I guess like John Wick is one of those movies where you get to show off your sound set.
It has the old Top Guns when DVDs came out.
Yeah, like Top. It was always like, you know, Top Gun or the Matrix and Blu-ray came out, because it's kind of like, you know, if you want to show off how Blu-ray looks and sounds compared to DVD, that was one of the movies you got. And like now it's kind of. Atmos is the thing where if you have either the speakers in your ceiling or the speakers that reflect off your ceiling, you get a sound cloud. I guess the best way to describe it is like a sound cloud around you.
Yeah.
Like, and I've been in movie theaters where they've used it right. And it's funny, like I used to never pay attention to sound until I start paying attention to it. And you can tell who puts effort in how stuff looks and sound and who doesn't, which is why I will never get slandered to Michael Bay, because whatever you say about him, his movies look and sound gorgeous. And another thing, I don't want to go off a tangent, is like I always wonder why Marvel doesn't do any of their movies in 4K on DVD release. Like, that's, they're still like, we just do 3D. We don't do anything special.
Well, hell, you know why? Just waiting.
Maybe
a Marvel movie. Yeah. They're owned by Disney. So
yeah, but even now, it's kind of like, you know, they'll do it because I know they let Star Wars out, and then they did the 3D version of Star Wars because whatever. But they seem, the whole thing is kind of like, from what I've read about it, they're like, that's not really our thing right now, so whatever, we'll let everybody else do it. Because everybody else seems to be doing it.
Well, yeah, I guess I just don't... I'm still burned by the George Lucas stuff whenever it comes to Star Wars. And then knowing, like, and I guess now that Disney owns it, that mistrust has gone there. So just waiting, because I... Just waiting. Did they ever make Star Wars? I'm sorry, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. Did they ever upgrade those to 3D and put those out on Blu-ray? It doesn't sound familiar.
I know they released it in the movie theater. I don't know. At least one of them. I don't know if they did. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't do it, because they did with The Force Awakens, which was kind of funny, where they released it and then they released a new one that was just 3D more commentary tracks. But even then, I could see the whole 3D thing, but...
And that's what I'm getting at, is just waiting. Yeah. So but none it's of the only a matter of time.
But I'm like, but Marvel's never done that. Like, they don't release movies twice. They release it and that's it. Like, it wasn't kind of like... They might release different copies, like you can get Avengers and you get get the 3D version, but it wasn't like, you know, the Avengers came out and then 2 months later it was no Ultimate Avengers Edition, you know, with a Robert Downey Jr. doll. But they've always been kind of more fair with their releases, but they haven't touched 4K like nobody, none of the Disney movies have. And I can see Disney do it because the animated movies, because they're the king of like re-releasing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And 25th edition and stuff like that. But if you're going to show off 4K and HDR, Marvel comic movies is a perfect thing, because I'm especially like watching Batman versus Superman. You see that on a good TV with a good sound system, it makes a difference. I'll say that. It's not as big a difference as the jump from DVD to Blu-ray is, but it's still a difference.
Yeah, and I don't have a 4K. I know you do, so I've been able to you know verify how much of a difference the 4K is, and. The reason I keep going with this is John Wick was specifically made by former stuntmen, right?
Yeah, by stuntmen who worked on The Matrix with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, so, all right, so you've got, I forgot it was on The Matrix too. You've got guys who've, you know, been around the block. They know exactly how to, you know, frame things to make the action sequences look so good. And then on top of that, you got to figure that they know the perfect way for sound development to make sure everything sounds as either realistic or to use a wrestling term, impactful as possible. So I think that's why the first one worked. Besides it just being straightforward, it kind of reminded me of the first Taken movie, where everything was just matter of fact. And like the one scene that always stood out to me in Taken was I'm going to say Keanu Reeves. Liam Neeson, he's at the dinner table with that guy and his wife. And he goes, if you don't tell me what I want to know, I'm going to shoot your wife. And the guy's like, I don't. Bang. He shoots her in the knee.
It's a flesh wound.
Yes.
Stop complaining.
And that's immediately where I was like, I'm enjoying this movie. Because this isn't one of those, hey, you better do what I say. No, you better do what I say. No, you better tell me. All right, you're going to make me do this. And drag a scene out. It's like, no. Boink. Just
okay,
like.
Yeah. And I know if in your black heart that would probably move you, and it's shocking because it shows like he's not messing around. But and it's funny where you brought that up and like Taken and John Wick is kind of like the impactful thing. It reminds me of Heat. Like the biggest thing between these movies, like because John Wick and even the Raid movies and like Dredd and then like the comic movies is. And the comic movies, up until, I'd say, Civil War, the violence didn't have any weight. It didn't have impact to it. Like, it felt like it didn't feel like you know, like Captain America punching somebody off a boat looks like it should hurt.
Yeah.
But it never looked like it was painful. And then you could tell, like, Civil War, how, oh, all of a sudden the violence looks different. Like, oh, okay, the people from John Wick helped work with that. Because you can tell, like, yeah, they stepped their game up. And it's, and we've always talked about that with different things, when Daredevil getting better in violence made Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. step their game up, mm-hmm. which made Arrow step their game up with violence. It's kind of like everyone has to keep up now because we can't do that same old nonsense.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, going to John Wick, the first one, I'm hoping it's the same way, and it sure as hell looks like it from the preview. Is he running in a gutter or something? Or, I'm sorry, in a, like, the sewage system? Where he's just, you know, couple shot, knocking guys down, slides, turns around, knocks the guy down, and keeps going. Unless it's like some, I don't know, elaborate club that they're going to go to or something, because that seems to be what always happens when you go to, you know, some sort of European,
I mean, it's wrong.
City in movies, exactly. So, but no, that's the point. Was I just hope it's the same, and it still had a little bit of humor in it. You know, when Lawrence Fishburne yells, "I thought you retired," and he's like, "I'm working on it," or you know, he's got a new dog, which you know, I think the movie's going to be smarter than this because of how smart the first one was. Boy, I hope the dog doesn't die, and that's his cause for going at it
no,
after everybody
well,
again.
No, they've said the reason why, so oh. it's not because of dog.
Okay, good. Well, that's why I said I think that they're smarter than that than to replay it, but they've already started John Wick 3, writing it at least, so that's encouraging at least.
I mean, they probably have an idea, like, they know what they have, they know what works, what didn't work, and it's kind of like, you know, practice and refine it, and we both have an idea, like, this movie's gonna be successful. I have no clue, and it's kind of like I wouldn't make a prediction because you kind of never know, especially with, because really with February being a funny month, but like 50 Shades of Grey made a whole bunch of money coming out that time, and nobody would have guessed that just because it was like a R-rated movie, even though it had this whole fan base. Deadpool made all that money, and nobody would have predicted that. So,
yeah, I think Deadpool was definitely the one that.
Yeah, and this one is kind of like it's an R-rated, low budget movie, but it's a movie that people have heard of and people are looking forward to it and talking to it. And it's like, you know, Keanu Reeves doing action never gets old, because regardless of his other movies he's done, he's always done action well, and he does it real. Like, I can believe him doing that because he puts enough work in it where it looks believable. Like some, like Tom Cruise does the same thing, where it's kind of like they take pride in, you know, if I'm running, I'm going to look like I know how to run and, you know, jump over this car and shoot people and reload and not look ridiculous. It's like he puts the work in, not just, you know, doing push-ups and having crunches. It's like, no, I'm a quick draw from the front of my pants, and I'm going to do it for like 2 weeks. So when I do it for 15 seconds in a movie, it looks right. Like, that's work. That's dedication in your craft. And I'm always a fan of that.
Yeah. Looking at the releases for February, Rings? Is on February 3rd, Rings?
Yeah, sequel to The Ring.
Good. I didn't like any of those. So the next weekend is John Wick 2, Lego Batman movie, and 50 Shades Darker. Boy, you couldn't have a more diverse audience for that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait. Lego Batman movie comes out when?
February 10th.
Oh, I'm actually looking forward to seeing that because I actually enjoyed the first Lego movie, and one of the reasons was because of Batman. He was just a straight dick.
Yeah.
In an enjoyable way. So, and the previews I've seen from the Lego Batman movie has looked nice, which is funny coming from a soon-to-be 38-year-old man.
Okay, so apparently February is not... All right, we can take this one of two ways. February is either a dead month, or, and they're just dumping stuff, or it's becoming the new beginning of movie season, which now apparently is going to go all year round. Because on the 17th, we've got Dark Tower. I thought that was coming out way down the road. I'm reading this off of MovieInsider.com. February 17th, Dark Tower, Great Wall, you know, the Matt Damon one, which I thought was coming out in December. I don't know what Fist Fight is. Let's see.
Yeah, they move. They got to keep in mind, probably people probably move a lot of stuff because Rogue One got moved.
Oh, true.
Got moved because they were supposed to come out in the summer, and they got moved to December. So no one – people learned a lesson with The Force Awakens, and they're like, unless we're doing a chick flick, nope.
Yeah.
I don't want parts.
Fist Fight is starring Charlie Day and Ice Cube.
Oh, I saw the previews of that. That's a comedy. That
oh, was, God, that I hope so. A Cure for Wellness. All right. I think that is I don't know. Another war movie called Land of Mine. Yep. Okay. Oh, it was okay. Some of these are like Oscar runs. And then I believe that is also President's Day weekend, right? If I remember right. February 17th will lead into the 20th or 21st. Yeah, I guess close to it. And then I got another horror movie on the 24th, Get Out. Sleepless, which is a remake of something. Jamie Foxx is an undercover Las Vegas police officer. God Particle and Rock Dog.
I've never heard of half of those.
So yeah, but
it was a couple of big ones because I know Great Wall, they spent a crap load of money on that, you know. And it's been talked about, like, for both positive and negative reasons, but that's neither here nor there. I didn't realize that was coming out in February. But, you know, like I say, those John Wick will have an audience because it's...
Yeah.
So it's kind of like enough people saw the first one for it to be successful, and it's kind of like, you know, it was a cool movie. So, and it's not like it's going to be PG-13 or anything like watered down anything. It's just going to be like... It's going to be what you like. We just got more money to spend.
I'm also thinking that February 10th, there almost seems like some decent studio heads thinking through. Because this is, you know, Valentine's weekend. So you got 50 Shades Darker and John Wick. So the guy will be like, hey, you go with this, then I'll go see 50 Shades Darker. The girl will be like, hey, we'll go see 50 Shades Darker, and I'll go to John Wick with you. Seems to be a pretty good idea.
Yeah, a pretty good idea that's also a sexist-ass idea.
Hey, it doesn't matter if it works.
I mean, because, trust me, it's this whole, but they don't think women want to see John Wick. Like, Keanu Reeves is not an ugly man. Like, he has a woman fan base. And my wife loves action movies, so it's probably a better chance that she would enjoy watching John Wick 2 than 50 Shades Darker.
Yeah, so who went and saw 50 Shades of Grey? It sure shit wasn't guys.
Oh, it was girls and their boyfriends that got dragged. How you think I saw it? But guess what? But there was nothing else out. That's the reason. So, but guys are going to get dragged and go anyway. It's not going to be this whole, oh, you go see this and I'm going to... Like, if that came out the same day as Deadpool, it wouldn't have been like, I'm going to go see Deadpool, you see this, we meet up. It's like, no. We're seeing both because she's not going by herself. Like, a woman that has a spouse or a boyfriend is not going to see a romantic movie by herself. Like, that's not how that works. It's like, no, you're going with me to see this, and after we see this, we'll go see the other movie. So it's not like, you know, we split, like, we're part of ways. We meet in the alley, like, we meet in the lobby in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. There's that part, too. I mean, it's... Let's see. Okay, so that the weekend 50 Shades of Grey came out was also the same day Kingsman came out.
Mm-hmm.
How weird is that? Because 50 Shades came out in February. I remember seeing Kingsman. We've talked about this before. We won't get into it. I still remember seeing Kingsman in theaters in August still.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So...
The movie that never died, basically.
Yeah, but more counter-programming, though. So... Mm-hmm.
I think the movies have changed, and I think the release thing, like before, it's been like you had your summer movies with all like the blockbusters.
Yeah.
And that was basically from like June to August. And then fall, winter was your Oscar movies. And then every other month was like trash. But they kept moving dates and dates back. Like Memorial Day was never a big movie day till like Fast and Furious and like X-Men made all that money Memorial Day. And then it's all of a sudden, okay, I guess we're going to start summer in May. Then all of a sudden, we're releasing stuff in April.
Yeah.
Like, Batman and Superman came out, what was it, like, late March? It's kind of like, yes, you know, now it's like, if you have a good movie, you move it away from other big movies, but they can make any month, like, matter. Like, you
and
know.
That's what I always wondered, why that wasn't more like that. And also, I wonder if they had enough high quality, like, not high quality, if they had the movies that they wanted to spend that much money on to release them in January. Because it used to be that the Oscar season, January was like Oscar hangover month. So they didn't want to put anything out because people weren't going to the weren't going to the movies. So you had to wait till basically Memorial Day. But now I'm looking, like, we just went through that for February, and then and starting March 3rd is Logan. Wolverine 3.
I didn't realize it came out that, because those movies normally were like late summer, fall movies. Mm-hmm. Like, the first two Wolverine movies came out like late July, yep, early August, kind of like, you know, after everything else came out. This one is like beginning a head start. Yeah. I think it's a combination of you want to avoid certain dates from like the big movies, and but if you still want to come out, you still come out, like, you know, Resident Evil and Underworld movies are coming out. They normally come out like around January, February, because like we're not going to compete with, you know, X-Men movies, but those movies still make money. It's like, so them coming out in February is fine because they're going to make their money back and they don't have to compete with anybody. So it's almost like a case of know your audience and get in where you fit in. And if you get it right, you're fine. If you get it wrong, like Dread did, then that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah, that. I love the movie. I hate talking about it, though, because it's so. Because I was one of the people, too. I think I was going through my divorce at the time, too. So I didn't feel like spending money on anything. Or I probably couldn't. I always regret not seeing that in theaters. So I guess that's why I have such a. And knowing that a lot of people were so. A movie that came out so many years after the original, which I can't say original, since a Judge Dredd movie came out. That's how bad that first one was. It stigmatized an entire character that no one, no matter how good it looked, no matter how good the reviews were, that no one went and saw it because of the first one. Anyways.
Yeah, that's one of those where it was just a victim of it got marketed wrong. Mm-hmm. It had to deal with the stigma of Sylvester Stallone. And The Raid came out first, even though Dredd started, like, they started production on Dredd first, but by the time it came out, like, oh, they basically did the same thing The Raid did. Like, imagine that. Like, you have an idea first, but somebody else beat you to it because they were able to do stuff quicker, and they had, you know, they didn't have to spend as much money. So by the time you come out, people think you're biting them off.
Well, see, it's funny because I remember seeing... I saw Dredd before I saw The Raid, I think. Can't remember. And I was like, wow, these are really similar. Then I read about how they were similar, and they started infighting. Or not infighting, but just fighting. It's like, you guys both made badass movies. Don't worry about it. But, to go back to the releases here, Kong Island comes out on March 10th.
Wait. You know what? I forgot all about that movie.
Yeah.
Man, next year is going to be packed.
Next year's stupid. And then, I don't really care about Beauty and the Beast 3D. I won't go see this, but Power Rangers comes out on March 24th. Another King Arthur movie. Jesus. Ghost in the Shell is March 31st. Let's see. April, we get Smurfs Lost Village. Fast 8 is April 14th. Everyone kind of avoids everything the next 2 weeks.
They know better.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Is May 5th. Baywatch is May 19th. Whatever. Annabelle 2 is May 19th. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales, May 26th. There's seemingly a big release every week starting February. Mm-hmm. That's nuts. Because you get into June, you got Wonder Woman, The Mummy, World War Z2, Kingsman, Cars 3. I don't know they're making a 3. Whoa.
I forgot all about World War Z. One of those movies might get pushed back because I haven't heard squat about World War Z. Same. I know they just started filming, and no, they didn't even start filming. They were talking about who the director was going to be. So, yeah, I'm thinking maybe one or two of those movies gonna get pushed back, but some of those I just forgot like they were coming out.
Yeah,
it's gonna be
looking on this thing though. It says development next to it, so maybe you know it's not actually there yet.
Yeah, so, but like some of those you name like definitely come out. Like you know, Kingsman is definitely coming out, yeah. And I mean it's just set up now where people have their movie universes. It's just gonna get worse, mm-hmm. like. I mean, because
well,
you
worse
have
or better, depending on how you look at
I
it.
I mean, like as far as like getting where you fit in, because you know Marvel's doing their thing now, DC's doing theirs. You got Universal with Fast and Furious every 2 to 3 years. You got Transformers doing their thing, and then you're gonna have a Monster Universe with Mummies and Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah, that's
and
that Mummy one with Tom Cruise.
Like it's just gonna be everyone's have a franchise because you get that franchise money. And you're in there, and it's like you got to find out, you got to get in where you fit in, basically.
Yeah, and it's funny though, because I'm looking at August, and we'll get off this, get into our other stuff after this. Well, if this site wants to work. August seems like dead space to me, though. You've got Alien Covenant, which is actually just Prometheus 2. Something called Blazing Samurai. A movie called Emoji Movie Express Yourself.
Yes.
God damn. Chips, which I forgot they were remaking. Hitman's Bodyguard, whatever that is. The remake of Flatliners, the movie nobody asked for. So
I guess somebody asked for it.
Yeah, somebody did. So but yeah, there's and I'm looking, you know, like big name movies. Got to go all the way till October 6th. Blade Runner 2049. A lot of pre-productions on here, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that.
Yeah,
but
stuff's going to get... I think it's kind of the big monkey in the room is, like, the return of Star Wars, and their whole thing is kind of like, Christmas is going to be ours, so that affects everybody, where you don't want to... Basically, you don't want to come out with a movie when Marvel brings out a movie, when Fast and Furious comes out, or, like, Star Wars and Jurassic Park. Or even a DC movie. It's like it's almost you have to pick and choose. Like if you're not a big name, you have to avoid stuff like 2 to 3 weeks, and you just get jumbled up with. You know, you got to share.
And I don't think with the way the movie industry's not making as much money, even though ticket prices are an all-time high. I wonder how long it'll keep up.
It's gonna keep up. It's just gonna be because, like I said. China's going to end up being like the number one, like, you know, movie place probably within 2 years, if not next year. Like that ship has sailed with that point. And it's just going to be people talking about, oh, movies don't make money anymore. It's like, no, movies in America may necessarily not make as much. And even then, it's kind of like, by the time this year's over, I wouldn't be surprised if it made more money like this year than last year, because it's kind of like, you still have a Star Wars movie coming out.
Yep.
You still have Doctor Strange. Like, you still got some big stuff that's coming out this year that's going to make money. So, for all the talk of people talking about, oh, it was like sequels failed and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, you know, Civil War still made over $1 billion. Batman versus Superman, for all the talk, you know, made like 800 million or close to 900 million. Suicide Squad made almost 750 million. Like, it was movies that still made money. It was just like, you know, you can't compete when you didn't have Jurassic Park and Fast 7
yeah
in the same year, or like Avengers Age of Ultron, where you have movies making $1.5 billion and $2 billion and like close to $2 billion. No, I guess you can't compete with that when you have these, what was like, 3 of the top 7 movies, budget, like, you know, box office of all time came out the same year. So if that happens, yeah, I guess the year after it may be a drop, because that's just science.
Well, since you brought it up, what'd you think? Hey, all right, we talked about this a little bit, so like I already know the answer, but what'd you think of the Rogue One trailer preview? I think we both agreed it looked beautiful. It looked different, which I thought was very important. Because they're calling this a Star Wars story, so it's like, all right, cool, we're going to get something, you know, hopefully something a little bit different. And so far, it looks like it's going to deliver on that. From what we saw, like, ascertain the plot is. Obviously, they're the ones that have to go and get the Death Star plans, but then she's got dad issues. It appears the dad is either a prisoner of the Empire or willingly working for them.
Yeah. Which, I guess you would have that. You'd have dad issues if your dad made the laser on the Death Star.
Yeah. And so that was, I guess, taken from the preview, she's trying to rescue him and get the plans? Or it looked like there was a lot going on and then a whole lot of fighting. Which I'm not opposed to. It looks pretty sweet, and you're gonna get on me in this. I think it looks more interesting than Force Awakens does, actually.
No, I won't get on you with interesting. Yeah. I won't get on you with that, because that's one of Gareth Edwards' like, what makes him special is he knows how to film scale. Like, for whatever flaws, you could talk about Godzilla, visuals was definitely not one of, like, big things look big in his movie, and makes, and stuff that's supposed to look small looks small, but looks detailed. And that's the first Star Wars movie I've seen that looked grand without looking artificial. Like, it just looked big. Like, stuff that's supposed to be big looked big, but it wasn't like, you know, like somebody used Photoshop or like a 1995 laptop and it looked like fake. Like the biggest issue was, you know, the prequel movies. Not like it looked too artificial.
Yes. And like it, especially if you watch them now. It's funny because the original trilogy seems to get a pass on the technology. But then the prequels, and I think it's because they were so bad, they get a lot of criticism for how they look. Like, the special effects look antiquated already. It's like, well, yeah, because digital backgrounds were pretty new back then. So
It's not just that. I think it's a case of, it benefits when you do practical effects, because practical effects age well, mm-hmm. or age better, because it's practical, it's still practical. And it's kind of like CGI. Unless you do it well, old CGI kind of looks trash.
Yeah.
The most part, like it's a few that looks kind of decent, but it's like, you know, that's why I always say the first Matrix ages a lot better than the second one, because the first one had more practical stuff and the second one had more CGI that looked groundbreaking then but looks goofy as hell now. Yeah. And that's the nature of doing, like, a lot of, it's hard, you know, like somebody jumping off a building onto like a jump pad will never look bad. Comparing computer graphics from like 1982 to computer graphics from like 1997 to now, it's like technology changes. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's just nature of the beast. Yeah. But I agree the same thing you agree. Like, you know, it looks like a beautiful movie, and it has the advantage, like, big difference between this one and Force Awakens. It's a grown up story with like grown up actors. Like,
yeah.
Nothing against like the Force Awakens actors, because they were like, they end up doing their jobs well. But you didn't really know too much about him. Like, you know, Mads Mikkelsen can act. You know, Ben Mendelsohn can act. You have Forrest Whitaker and Donnie Yen and yada yada yada. You don't have to worry about the acting. It's kind of like they can pull the weight.
And then you also have the benefit of not having an audience waiting around for the characters they know to show up. It's like, this is our story. There you go. Oh, by the way, there's a real quick glimpse of Darth Vader. Like, wait a sec, what was that? So you're not, it's like, I think part of Force Awakens' appeal, obviously, was that Han Solo, Leia, Chewbacca, you know, Luke at the very end, they were all in it, the audience anticipation's there. This one, here are a bunch of characters you don't know, and a story that was briefly mentioned, but we're going to throw you a small bone, but that's not the whole point of this one. I think that's, they've got the benefit of that the audience just goes in almost clean slate. And I mean, the benefit over Force Awakens. And plus, the lack of anticipation as well, because, you know,
Yeah. I think it's like a catch-22, because on one hand, it doesn't have to do the lifting that Force Awakens does in some cases, because Force Awakens came out. But on the other hand, it's kind of like, you know, it doesn't have that Force Awakens weight either, where it's kind of like, you're messing around with stuff that happened. Like, Force Awakens is new. I know for more people say, oh, is this a rehash of Star Wars? I'm like, fine. You're reintroducing Star Wars to a whole new generation. Like, it wasn't for the, like, people like us. we were going to see it regardless. It was for everybody else who, like people said, China didn't know anything about Star Wars. Like, Star Wars wasn't a big deal for them back then. And it's kind of like, you know, Star Wars was an American thing that kind of creeped out worldwide. And now you're doing movies for everybody. So it's like that. This one is like, you know, this is steeped in the Star Wars lore where stuff happened and you remember it. So it's like nerds get real picky when you open up their memories. And we've talked about that. It's like, okay, was the technology, does it fit the time frame? And, you know, will Darth Vader sound, will James Earl Jones sound the same or sound like he was supposed to sound? And does this look right? Does it look too clean? And, you know, a lot of that stuff. Because, like, with part of a good reason, because one of the biggest thing is when you deal with, like, new technology, but you do prequels, how does the old stuff look better than the new stuff, like, time-wise? Like, the technology go backwards. And that was one of the arguments with the prequel movies. It's like, you know, these ships look a lot better than the ones that they replaced in the future. So what happened?
Yeah, well, I always thought that made sense. Because everything was flourishing without the Empire's strong, like, you know, grip on everything. And then once the Empire took over, things just went to garbage. You know? No creativity, no expression. So that's why you get those clunky-ass looking vehicles all the time.
But, like, I would think that, but China's, they have Mercedes-Benz in China. It would be my counter-argument, like, now. So it's like,
yeah, but how many people are driving those there? You know?
It's a lot of people. All those people that's going to make Jackie Chan the second richest movie star in the world. Those people, like, you know, it's kind of, I always found, like, I can get the whole argument on one hand, but it's always seemed weird where you play with that, but it's like the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, I'm looking forward to the movie. I'm so glad that Donnie Yen's finally getting a chance, even though it's funny when we say that, like, you wish such and such would do that. But then you think about, like, they don't need it. Like, at this point, it's not like a Bruce Lee thing where he needs to conquer here to be a star. Like, that's like, they're making money at home. Like, they do not have to do American audiences and stuff like that or movies anymore. Like, Jackie Chan is batshit rich. And he doesn't have to. Like, it's a movie that came out on Netflix here, and it's like, just because, like, I was bored, I don't care. Like, I'm still making movies that make $100 and $200 million, and they will never come out in America. Like, I don't need you anymore. And that's how things have changed. Like, before, it's like, you know, I got to come over here and do a show and be noticed and stuff. It's like, now it's like, if they do it, it might be for the challenge. It's not to make money, and it's not to be famous, because they're already famous. They're just not American famous. And American famous is not as big as it used to be.
I think you're underestimating that. I think being American, like, all right.
Like, if you look at the top,
I cut myself off because everybody I was about to name in a movie star wise was an older generation. I was automatically going to throw out, like, Tom Cruise, Denzel, Tom Hanks,
Will Smith and all them. Like, yeah, back then they were big here and they became worldwide. And it was like all the top actors. Like, if you looked at, like, the Forbes richest actors maybe like 10-15 years ago, they'd all be American.
Yeah.
You look at it now, they might have American at the top, but you'll see like Indian and Chinese actors because they make money. Like, you know, somebody like you get a Bollywood actor and they might make fun of him, oh, he's like the Indian Brad Pitt, and then you see, like, okay, he made $45 million, Brad Pitt made 15, so who's trying to be who? When you see something like that, like, it's changed now where you want to be big in America, but you don't have to be big in America to be famous and rich in the world.
Well, aren't our, like, and this, no sarcasm, not even trying to be like cynical or smartass about it, but aren't our biggest stars now reality stars? Like, what we, like, look at, I mean, as much as people despise them, look at Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
The Kardashians.
You know what, yeah.
Are there bigger stars from America than them right now?
The Rock.
True.
Yeah. But it's funny. I think somebody brought up a point earlier. Like, one of the reasons why a lot of people in the industry dislike Kim Kardashian is because she's consistently found a way to continue to be famous and make money for so long, even though she, quote unquote, doesn't have a talent. Like, that takes talent to be relevant. No one talks about Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie anymore. it's actors that came out when that sex tape of Kardashian came out. Nobody worried about them. Like, you know, it's hard to be known and be on top that long. And people say, oh, is she on top? I'm like, she makes good money doing what she does, and she's still relevant. Like, you know, like when she came, I remember when she came out for WrestleMania when they had that thing. I don't know if it's like for breast cancer or for something. And in, I don't remember how long ago that was. And it ain't nowhere in the world that, like, they probably couldn't afford to do that if they tried that now.
Yeah.
And that, you know, because it's kind of like she was known, but she wasn't like, you know, I'm Kim Kardashian, everyone knows me. And like you said, with like actors, like it's tough. Unless, you know, like, the world on one hand has shrunken, but then on the other hand, it's like, it's not many movie stars anymore, because the nation's kind of like, it's movie franchises. And you look at, like, the same, who are movie stars that can open up a movie that's not old? Like, usually it's the same people that's been doing it. Like, we've talked this list where
yeah.
It's probably like 10 to 15 people, and it's been, for the most part, the same 10 of people, except for, you know, some person might slide down, a new person slide in. And you live in a world now where The Rock is the biggest movie star in the world, yet Kevin Hart made more money than The Rock did.
Yeah, I'm sitting here while you're talking trying to think of somebody. I'm just getting aggravated because it's just the same people. I guess we'd have to come up with like a generational cutoff, because I consider The Rock to be old school now. Because one of his wrestling fame, and yeah, it's taken him a while to build up the movie stuff, but he wouldn't have been anywhere without wrestling, which he was a gigantic star then. And could you, I was going to say, could you imagine if China was in play back then? But I was going to, Ben Affleck, but
I mean, that same the accountant generation.
Didn't exactly burn up. Yeah, but the accountant didn't exactly burn up the.
But it made it made more than people thought it was going to make. Yeah. And majority of people say, because Ben Affleck was, he's one of those few where it's, but think about it, they all in like 40s and older.
Yeah.
Like, who's under 40 that, beside Melissa McCarthy and Kevin Hart, that people just throwing money at to go see? Like, everybody else is like Leonardo DiCaprio. He's in his 40s. Brad Pitt is old.
And that those were the guys, I'm like, well, they do commercials overseas. Well, yeah, they don't count, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's one, like, that's one to think on.
Like, it's just a generational thing, because now it's where we want to release a franchise where, I think it's this whole Marvel thing where it's like the, you notice how Marvel and even Star Wars, like, we could take an unknown actress or actor, or like a, they don't have to be as known or big time, and make them the star and not necessarily have to pay them a lot of money. It's like people going to see, it's like Robert Downey Jr. is the exception in Marvel.
I was just going to say him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the exception. He's not the rule. It's like, you know, people will go see Iron Man because Robert Downey Jr. is in it. People go to see Captain America because they like Captain America. It's like, yes, they like Chris Evans, but it's not like I went to see it because Chris Evans is playing Captain America. It's I went to see Captain America because I enjoy Chris Evans playing Captain America.
What about Scarlett Johansson?
That's it, really. And it's funny, like, if it's the young ones, it's women, because they have to get it in at a younger age. So you'll have Scarlett Johansson, Jennifer Lawrence, and Melissa McCarthy, because Sandra Bullock is old herself.
Yeah, no, she's the old.
Yeah,
chick.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, if you're young, it's gonna be a woman. Like, really, the youngest guy you're gonna see on that list is probably gonna be Kevin Hart and Mark Wahlberg.
What about Vin Diesel? He's really kind of, but I'm not going on age. I'm going on. Fast and Furious was a long time ago, though. So
yeah, and like Fast and Furious and Pitch Black was like late '90s. So
yeah, like, no, that's true.
So that's telling that the youngest people on there are like late '90s people, and it's kind of like they got in where they fit in now. Where I'm just thinking, like, it's just everything's franchise and everything is like big now. It's like you don't have a person that becomes a star based on them being a star. You have them being in these big movies and then get labeled as a star. Like, Chris Pratt is a big time thing because he was in Guardians of the Galaxy and Jurassic World. Not because, you know, he became this big star and then jumped in those movies. Like, Tom Cruise became Tom Cruise because he was good in small stuff and kept getting bigger and bigger. The same thing like Denzel's and a Tom Hanks, and even like the Eddie Murphys like back in the day. Now it's kind of like we're gonna get an unknown to play Han Solo just because we don't gotta pay him and it's a blank slate and everything like that. They wouldn't have done that, you know, 10, 15 years ago. It's like, because look how DC does things. Like Marvel gets the unknown person, or like, you know, Chris Evans, he casts well, so we'll get him. What does DC do? Okay, we got Deadshot. A lot of people don't know him, so how can we make it work? Let's get Will Smith. Yeah. Like, if that's not overkill, I mean, it worked, but that's kind of like, you know, I need to feed somebody, so I'm getting them a damn turkey.
Yeah. Sir, can you give me a bite to eat? Here's a full course meal. It's like, okay. I don't know what to do with this.
I mean, it works, but it's kind of like, that's the nature of the thing now, where they either go super small, they go super small with these people and figure the story will do the heavy lifting, and as long as they cast well with actors, they'll do fine, or they get stars that's been stars. Like, and
I think with the Will Smith thing, though, that was probably calculated by him, because he hadn't exactly been burning stuff up either.
But they had, it wasn't like he went to them, they went to him.
Right.
Like,
yeah, true.
And it's still kind of like thing. And it's not like, you know, he's going there to play like a solo, right? Like, he's there to play an ensemble movie, like a character people don't know. But like, it's, I'm trying to think of a Marvel analogy. It would be almost like
for Marvel, actually, because.
No, you know what I think? If they did an Avengers movie, instead of having Paul Bettany as Vision, they had Matthew McConaughey play Vision. That's the closest I can think of. Like, it's kind of like, yeah, like, I mean, I'm glad you got him, but in that little, like, much? Yeah. Or like if Marvel decided to do, if they do a Spider-Man movie and we're going to cast, you know, Norman Osborn and Harry Osborn, they decide to get Denzel Washington and Michael B. Jordan. Glad you could do it. Like, I'm glad you were able to do that, but that seems like a little too much type thing.
Yeah. Mentioned it. Well, I want to talk about Supergirl quick, but also we didn't bring this up last time. We mentioned earlier in the show, Logan, Wolverine 3 is coming out. They put out production stills of the poster. They actually put out some other. They showed Kalibak. A character I'd forgotten about. It's Stephen Merchant is playing Kalibak.
I'm gonna see how many times you pronounce his name wrong.
It's Stephen Merchant.
No, the character.
Oh, is it Caliban? I'm sorry, I'm saying Kalibak, aren't I? Mm. Yeah, sorry. It's Caliban. Jesus. Thanks for hanging me out to dry for like the first two at least. But
you're welcome.
So that was a surprise. They haven't shown what Hugh Jackman looks like. But then there's an interesting casting tidbit that someone has actually been cast as a young X-23. Possibly, at least. We talked about this on another show. Going to a site called themarysue.com, so sorry. Yeah.
Well,
but,
first, I want to say kudos to Fox continues their tradition of not giving a damn about, you know, timelines, because they already had Caliban in X-Men Apocalypse, and I guess it's kind of this is going to be a different one that's going to look completely different because this is the future and whatever. This is Fox, where they do not, canon be damned. Like, canon is something they shoot money at to Hugh Jackman. It's not something for them to follow, but it's funny where even now it's like you still keep getting like, you still don't know, you hear bits and pieces of the story, but you still don't know what's true or false. Like, yeah. You know, is Mr. Sinister going to be in it? Like, at first, like, no. Like, they say, like, his organization will be in there, but he's not going to show up in the movie. But if you go on the IMDb, that's not updating the story. Like, you have no damn clue. Like, you know, Boyd Holbrook from Narcos is in there playing Donald Pierce, you know, from Hellfire Club and stuff like that. He doesn't have anything to do with Mr. Sinister and stuff. It's kind of like, this movie comes out pretty soon and you're still not sure what the movie's about.
Good. I'm totally fine with that. It's not going to stay that way, obviously.
Yeah.
But
I would say it's good to an extent. Like, as long as if they have a great trailer, no one will care. And it's the whole thing is like, you know, this is the last time Hugh Jackman's going to do this. So it's that thing. It's a rated R. That's another thing. Like, this is a rated R Wolverine movie, which Wolverine should be rated R. So that's that. And it's kind of like, you don't need to know the whole story before you jump in, because it takes the thrill away and surprise away. But you don't want it to be too ambiguous. It's like, you know, I know it's Wolverine, but what's it about? People are still going to go see it, but it's like, you know, you want to have a general idea what the movie's about.
Yeah, I think the last one did so well, and it created so much goodwill that this one will still be fine, especially, like you said, with the prospect, I'll just leave it at that, of Hugh Jackman no longer playing Wolverine.
I'll say this. The poster, I was wondering about, you know, how movie like execs try to, they think that fans are kind of dumb. And, you know, like the Wolverine movies, like the first one was X-Men Origins Wolverine. Second one was just the Wolverine. The third one is like Logan. So I'm like, if you don't know the character, you know this is a Wolverine movie. Well, it worked because when we went to the movie to see Kevin Hart, my wife walked by the poster, the one that you saw with the claws and the little girl. It's like, oh, Logan, is that a Wolverine movie? I'm like, yeah.
Well, that's good. She's like, because, okay. Yeah, I bet you, she's kind of burned on these movies anyway, so. But I bet you we walk by it with Elise, she'll be like, okay. Because she's more like, let's just go sit down anyways. But, so maybe it's a bad example. But, I got the Domino thing pulled up. Real quick, it should either be Mary Elizabeth Winstead or Lizzie Kaplan. I don't want to see Sienna Miller anymore. So.
I think those two, although Sophia Boutella is a dark horse because she's better in action than both of them. So, and she can act good enough where it's always where if you're doing an action movie, it helps that the person can actually do action because it looks a lot better than when they can't, which is why some, and we've talked about this with like the CW shows, why Katie Lotz looks a lot better doing action than every other woman doing action because she has like a dance and martial arts background. So, and I'm sure like Mary Elizabeth Winstead does not. So, I mean, you can fake it to a certain extent, but it's kind of like people can tell when you're faking it. It doesn't look the same.
Yeah. It's funny you brought up Stephanie Lotz, that your line about her getting more ass than anybody else in the DC TV universe, that cracked me up. It just hit me out of the blue today, and I just started laughing. It's like, it's pretty much.
And it's, I don't know if I should feel, I don't know how I have to feel. Like, on one hand, it's kind of like, it seems a little, it just feels weird on one hand. Like, if it was a man, how would it play off? Because it's funny how they handle that. Like, you know, like, because if it was a man, like Oliver Queen, and you wouldn't think anything of it. But they play it so casual. And, like, on one hand, you wouldn't say, okay, they're not making a big deal. Like, okay, she likes women. Fine. And but it's almost like they play it as a like a joke, because I remember when it first happened on Arrow, it's kind of like maybe you weren't sure because, you know, she was with Oliver and she was doing stuff with Oliver, and maybe it's just the fact that she just loves this one girl that looks like Katrina Law, and who wouldn't enjoy a woman that looks like Katrina Law, to the fact where we were wondering if someone's gonna go on with her and Laurel because they just had better chemistry. They had much better chemistry than Oliver there. Yeah, like
she was going through Team Arrow, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, okay, you can see that. But then they play on, like, Legends. He's just knocking down every broad in sight based on timeline. And it's like,
that was
okay.
Like the Queen of France, right? Or the future Queen of France? Is that who that was in the first episode? I'm like,
yeah.
Well, that's kind of ballsy. But
and then, like, they won't burn her as a witch because she was knocking down women during Salem. So.
Which that cracked me up too. I don't know. I don't have a problem with it at all. It's kind of it's different at least. The thing is just how I don't know where she became just straight women only. Unless they're just not showing the other conquests. If you want to, you know, it's a conquest because she's hopping through time. So she's, you know.
And here's the thing. I don't even know if she's just in the women. They just show the women part. But even during season one, it's kind of like, you know, her and Rip was always kind of like, you know, is something brewing with that and everything like that, which it always seemed kind of forced. But yeah, even her and like Captain Cold had better chemistry than
that was the one for me. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so she shows interest in guys, but she's just having sex with women because it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe this whole thing, if she has sex with women, she's not considered a slut. Like, it's this funny dichotomy, because if she was just bouncing around from guy to guy, then I'm thinking it'd be more backlash because, you know, people like, oh, she can't do that because she's going to look like a whore.
Yeah.
Even though if it was a guy, no one would say, like, if she was a guy, nobody would say anything because Oliver Queen was doing that for, like, a couple seasons and nobody said anything. And, like, Jim Gordon's been doing that for 3 seasons of Gotham and no one's saying. It's still that whole double standard and stuff when it comes to the comic shows. And then it's something we talked about before off topic. Like, those relationships only seem to work that, like, fans embrace it when it's two nerds or when it's pretty lesbians. Just look at all, look at all the other shows. Like, look at Supergirl, how they kind of like, okay, this ain't working, we're not even gonna do it. You see how the Flash handled theirs. Like, look at Arrow. As soon as Felicity and Oliver became a thing, it just became a damn disaster. Like, they just wrote those characters horribly.
Yes, it sure it sure did. To back up on Arrow, though, and to the credit of both of these shows, that was part of Arrow's character when he first got back.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I remember it was when he slept with, it was Slade's daughter, but she was like, she was a CEO and business partner of Oliver Queen at the time. And Felicity's like, are you kidding me? Kind of, Not sticking her nose up in the air, but like just looking down on him. Did I just go on speaker or something?
No, you're fine.
And then, you know, they got away from that, but even on this show, you know, even on Legends of Tomorrow, Sarah's running out and she's like, I think it was Rip saying something about, you know, now that she's good and warmed up or something. Like, they were all joking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that approach was kind of fun, and I know it's like it's supposed to be a joking thing, but it was also a scene or their reality where it's like, hey, yeah, she's just sleeping around, whatever, let's go. Like, it wasn't like, oh my god, it's so shocking what she's doing.
Yeah, like, and they played it like it's just natural.
Yeah, and even like the when she was a nurse in the past, when they got stuck in the past last season, and she was trying to hook up with that nurse. No one, like, the nurse had a problem because of the times, and that was kind of, not kind of, that was the social commentary arc.
Yeah, that one, and between that one and Jack's, like, you know, you're on the wrong track, you know, you're on the wrong side of tracks, talking to the wrong type of woman type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like you said, you definitely onto something, because it felt natural. That's why it just, I didn't think of it, like, it was weird because it felt natural, not because it was happening, just how they played it. And most of the relationships don't feel natural. It's like, okay, we have to put them together because either the internet says so or the comics say so. And sometimes, like, the Iris Berry thing works because they're likable. It's not annoying, but it ain't, like, great, but it's fine. But it says something that S.H.I.E.L.D. has the best relationship between, like, Fitz and Simmons, because it's just natural. It seems like they fit because they're two nerds that happen to look like supermodels.
Yeah, that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see where we're at. No, we got a little bit still. It's funny you mentioned Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I'm 2 episodes behind.
I am too.
I plan on catching up this weekend or Friday at least. But I've enjoyed the first 2 episodes quite a bit. And it's just with so many things being on TV now, I've noticed that SmackDown being live on Tuesdays has kind of interfered with things as well.
Man, who are you telling? Like, SmackDown being good has messed with me watching shows because I had to catch up to watch Flash and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Atlanta. Like, Monday and Tuesday suck for me because I just realized Monday I had 4 shows recording at the same time as 7. Like, I had Monday Night Raw, Gotham, Supergirl, and Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. It's like, and it's just between agents. Like, I don't know which one I enjoy more, like, because they improved so much between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Supergirl. And it's just like, I mean, we can talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. quick. Like, it's just amazing. Like, you wouldn't think Ghost Rider would fit in that environment, but it does. And it's just, it's weird.
Well, see, it fits, but where I was going with that is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we used to talk about that all the time, even like off air. And it's funny because we both enjoy it, but I don't see or hear much about that show. Like, the hype for that show has diminished greatly, but I think it's a better show.
Yeah.
I don't get what happened. I know the time slot, maybe.
No, it's not even that. Netflix happened is what happened.
True.
It's kind of like, you know, and it's, I think a lot of people checked out in season one right before like Winter Soldier stuff happened and then just never came back, because it's kind of like, I tell people, like, you know, they're like, what do you think of shit? I'm like, what do you think of shit? Oh, it's boring. Like, how much have you watched, like, the first four episodes? I'm like, you got to watch up until Bill Paxton shows up. Yeah. And then from that time till now, it's a completely different show. And it's like, I don't, you know, it's, people say, oh, can you do it? I'm like, look, if you remember Arrow was a rough watch in the beginning. Like, it was, like, it had the potential to be a good show, but it was a rough-ass show until Slade showed up. And then it became the show that it became. It's kind of like, if you get to that point, you're in there. But with all the stuff that's coming on, and then it's kind of like, you can't binge it when it was coming on live. And then you had Daredevil and Jessica Jones and stuff. Yeah. And it's kind of like, I got this while I watch that. But I'm like, it's since halfway through season one, it's probably been the most consistent comic show out.
Yeah, well, I think also when you mentioned the Netflix part, it's Luke Cage got all the press, that got all the Twitter stuff, because, you know, since you can binge the whole thing, where this is just episodic TV, so you got to wait and wait. So maybe that's where the business plan is different for this one.
Yeah,
it's a slow burn instead of, you know, immediate gratification.
And not only that, it just felt weird, like, when you, not that Ghost Rider is not like a, he's a well-known character, relatively speaking, but you would think of him being more a Netflix show than we're going to put him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because it's just...
Yeah.
I remember when they announced it, and we were like, is he going to show for an episode? Like, how is this going to work? And it's not even like Johnny Blaze one or the Danny Ketch one. It's the one that had a comic for like, what, a month? Or however long it was. And it was just like, I know they got Inhuman stuff and they got more stuff, but it's like, we're just going to throw him in there and... It worked, like, the casting worked, the special effects that he has works. The nature of the show, like, the stuff just works. And it, like, they've had enough background, they build everything up where you know everybody from the team, but it's not like a big, it's, cutting the team in half gives more time to, like, the people that's there, because you keep in mind, like, from, the team from, like, season two compared to now is, like, I remember we talked about the first time when they had like a team, like how big the cast was, like 8-9 deep, and Lucy Lawless shows up for an episode and dies the same episode.
Yeah.
And we're like, wow, how ballsy is that? And now you got it where it's basically Coulson, Mac, Fitzsimmons, May, and then, you know, Daisy doing her own thing on the side.
Yeah, now you add this goofball, you know, this goofball with a flaming head and a, I don't even know what kind of car it is. But,
yeah, and a mad scientist, you know, doing his thing.
Yeah.
So, but I know we need to talk about it, and we talked about it last time. I don't know how the hell they made Superman so enjoyable on Supergirl.
Yeah.
Like, how? Like, I know how. Like, you cast it, you remember what made Superman. But I am just gobsmacked and amazed, like, how much I enjoy. And I was never a fan of Superman like that. And I enjoy watching Superman on Supergirl.
Okay, I've been thinking about this, actually. Two things. One, it's only in short bursts. He's gone now. That's all we got with those two episodes. So, and they give you just enough to remind you of the classic version of Superman. Because... look at all the DC movies, how dark and depressing they are. Even Superman, you know? And then look at Arrow. Not exactly the most uplifting show. You got Flash, but Flash is coming off as kind of whiny. And then you got Supergirl, which was totally lost for the first season. Like I said, I didn't watch most of it. I watched the last two episodes to get caught up for this one. And you got Legends of Tomorrow, which was so hit and miss last year. And especially with that show, a bunch of characters you don't know. Well, all of a sudden, here comes Superman in here, and it's like, man, this is a breath of fresh air. It's exactly what the character's supposed to be like, and more importantly, how I remember the character being. It's not, you know, yeah. It's not Pa Kent getting out there going, or no, Ma Kent being like, well, fuck these people, don't worry about them. It's like, well, wait a second.
Wait. You know? But here's when I jump in. It's like, you say this is the character you remember, but you remember him from when?
Well, I'm 42.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you remember him based on the Christopher Reeve Superman. That was a long-ass time ago. It's kind of like, I know people bring up the Snyder, what they call the Murderverse and everything like that, but I'm like, even Brandon Roth and even like the Brandon Roth Superman was like, he was not as good as this one. And Dean Cain and the Smallville one was not as good as this guy is. Like, so it's not just the whole fact like he's, you know, remembered a good Superman. It's like, it's been a long time since you've seen a good Superman that wasn't a cartoon. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, it's not just the fact that he's acting like the guy knows how to play Superman and Clark Kent. It's kind of like, even like in short bursts, like everything that you would think about Superman, he's doing. And it's funny where he's not all bulked up and he's not husky and anything like that. It's like, and I'll give shout out to Cam because he made a good point. Like, if you're an alien that has these powers from the sun, you don't need to look like Lex Luger to be strong. Like, you're just naturally strong. Like, Superman doesn't have to look like a bodybuilder to be Superman. Like, Batman has to be in shape. He's human. Superman's an alien. So what does he need big biceps for?
Well, the same thing with Supergirl. She shouldn't look like some CrossFit chick. So, or bodybuilder girl, I suppose. Like, the real hardcore ones. So, yeah, no, that's a good point. But, you know, I guess it means they don't look as superheroic. Is that a word?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess heroic. Why not?
Yeah, they don't look as heroic. And I think it's funny where people, they, like, Superman was a hero because of what he represented. And I think people focus more on the look where if you're supposed to be a hero, you have to look a certain way. Yeah. And I'm like, it depends on the character. Like, if you're Batman, like, if you're Thor, like, Thor's always been big. Like, even though he's an alien, he doesn't need to be big either, but that works. And, you know, like, Superman's not a hero because he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Superman's a hero because what he represents. Like, you can't be walking around with a gut, but you just have to, you know, play up to the characteristics of Superman. And it's the same thing like Wonder Woman. Like, you know, people got her, like, she looks too skinny. I'm like, she just has to be fit. Like, because Linda Carter wasn't walking around looking like Miss Olympia either. She was just had cleavage, and she was gorgeous back then. Like, if you're tall and you're fit, you can be Wonder Woman, because she's, like, you know, whatever. She didn't get that way from doing sit-ups and doing CrossFit either. But people get caught up in the whole body thing. It's like, if you don't look like the comic book character,
and if
you don't look that way, then, and you have so many cases where they do, it's like, okay, then how come everybody, like, you got Hugh Jackman actually looking like Wolverine in the comics, except for he's taller, so it's like, I want everybody to look like that. Like, no, Captain America should look that way because he's a super soldier that used steroids. I'm sorry. the super serum to get that way. He needs muscles because he's an enhanced human. People who actually use muscles need muscle. Like, Robert Downey Jr. just needs to be in shape. He doesn't need to be all big and more. The suit does all the work. So there you go.
Yeah, you just got to be skinny. You don't have to. No one wants to see a portly superhero. I mean, doesn't matter. No one wants to. So you just got to be skinny and easy on the eyes. That's it.
Yeah. And like you brought up, like,
you're super, a bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't be out of shape as a hero, even though that seems like body shaming. But that's neither here nor there. But it's funny you bring about season one. Like, Supergirl season one, like, it had good parts and it had bad parts. Like, it stood up because, one, Supergirl was just so awesomely cast. It was the whole romance stuff that brought it down.
And they got
it was
kind of
like, yeah, and they fixed all that because, like, you know, we're going to put Wynn here so he can basically be Cisco. And we're going to have James move away from this, because it's kind of like, they even admit themselves, like, we did this because we thought we had to. but we realized it's kind of detracted from the show, so fix it. So they fixed it, and it's like they put the parts in where they're supposed to be, where it's a better fit. The action is a lot better because CW knows how to do action. It's funny, they have less money and they have better action scenes because they're used to it. And even like for whatever reason, CBS wasn't, even, which is that's always where I guess like money doesn't solve everything. Like, you got to know what you're doing. Just throwing money at it doesn't make stuff better.
Yeah, and also I would think network. I'll use the word interference, but you know what I'm talking about. The network wants something for their show. Because CBS, look at their lineup, they have a very specific criteria they follow for their programming. And when it was first announced Supergirl was going to be on CBS, it didn't make sense to begin with. Considering, you know, NCIS Kentucky is followed by CSI Montana. It's like, okay, I don't get it. So I wonder, without the network notes, all right, let's go that way, if they're allowed to, like, you know, spread their wings, especially with having the producers, creators, showrunners of all the other shows on the same network. So you have one big happy, if you want to put it that way.
Not only that, and I think it helps that Geoff Johns is in charge.
Yeah.
And just the fact that it went from we had to kill off the Suicide Squad because we're doing a movie, to it's like, okay, we'll let you bring this one back, because they didn't go into detail. They asked, like, can we use this guy? And they were like, yeah. And then the fact that Deathstroke is going to be on later on this year, it's like, okay, well, maybe they're trying to get on the same page, more or less.
Yeah, but I mean, they gave us Deathstroke, sort of, last season. That was on Legends of Tomorrow, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was like his son or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah. Whatever.
It was like, no, Legends of Tomorrow was like, okay, I'm Slade's son, Blade Wilson, or whatever it was. So, which was hilarious. But stuff changed. It helps when people are on the same page and when people actually enjoy doing what they do and they get it. And you can tell the difference between, like Marvel, you can tell the difference between when Kevin Feige wasn't in charge and him being in charge now, because, like, stuff, people seem to enjoy their work and it's not as much meddling. Just the fact, like, the stuff, Doctor Strange come out, that looks like a trippy-ass movie. And from everything you hear about Thor, it's like, okay, they're just letting these people do whatever they want as long as they advance the story. And before, it's kind of like, we got to throw a scene in because we need to, because you got to remember that they got to go to the next movie. And now they seem like they're not doing that. And now even with DC, it's like, okay, we want to, I mean, our movies are making money, but most people don't like our movies. And we want people to actually like our movies too, so let's get people who know what they're doing to do this stuff. And it's like, okay, Ben Affleck, you know what you're doing. Do whatever you want. And it's kind of like, you know, it's funny how that happens. When you let people do what they're supposed to do, and you just give them back in their money and don't get in the way too much, like, edit what you need to, but give them free reign, it works. Like, I wonder if Kevin Feige was in charge from Jump Street, if Edgar Wright would have stayed doing Ant-Man, and if Ava DuVernay would have, you know, stayed to do Black Panther.
Possibly.
Because I remember she was saying how she had a vision for, like, you know, Black Panther, and it wasn't fitting the vision. And everybody was wondering, like, okay, maybe that's talk and not paying too much about it, especially if they got, you know, Ryan Coogler to do it, which is, he's fine. Like, he's awesome, too. But then you see Luke Cage, and it's like, okay, if Marvel brought out Luke Cage, then I wouldn't see Ava DuVernay should be able to do whatever she wants. But it's like, you wonder how the timing was when that was involved.
Well, yes, but now with her not doing something, it opens her up to do something else. So it's like is it one of those things where it's like, all these things happen for a reason?
Yeah.
So, I just
wonder. Yeah, and it's a good way to segue to the end, because I brought her up for a reason, and I saw something where I never thought I would see, because she did a documentary that's on Netflix. I want to watch with Darlene, called 13th, and it talks about the 13th Amendment and the effect it has. And lo and behold, I'm on Twitter one day, and I see Seth Rollins tweet about saying, you know, you need to go see this. #BlackLivesMatter. And I was I'm thinking, okay, is this a parody account? Like, is this fake? Because I'm just got, because it's, to say it was unexpected would be a gross understatement. Like, one, that he saw it. Two, that he would tweet that. And I'm like, I know WWE is, you know, not how it used to be. It's still pro wrestling. And it's, let's just say it hasn't been the most progressive, you know, type of organization or progressive field, to put it lightly. You know, and the fact that one of their, especially with, you know, what Randy Orton was tweeting like a couple weeks ago, is how you would think the normal type of atmosphere. And it's fine, like, people can feel the way they feel about that, and that's whatever. But the fact that one of their big time stars, one of their mainstream stars, a white male star, tweets something like that is just, is amazing that that happened.
I didn't see the Randy Orton thing, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Basically, he tweeted something about, he was talking about Colin Kaepernick saying, like,
he's not doing this
brave and everything, like, you know, bravery doesn't come from that. And then people kind of got on him. And I always feel like it's, on one hand, it's unfair, like, getting on somebody in their 30s for what they did when they were, like, their late teens, early 20s,
yeah,
kind of seems like kicking somebody down. But on the other hand, he did open himself up there. Like, you can't be talking that was brave and not brave when you went AWOL from the military.
Yeah,
like,
but we also talked about this, though, why anybody of any sort of popularity has a Twitter account anyways. So, it just because it will invite things like that. It's like,
And it
helps you not become, maybe this is part of it too, stars are so accessible now, there's no mystery behind any of them. Maybe that's why there's no giant stars.
No, I will say this, if you use your Twitter well and social media well, because look at The Rock. One of the big things why he is so famous is because of his Instagram and Twitter. Like, he invites people in his world where, you know, you feel special because you're seeing that. And people always bring up the fact, like, he has all these followers, so they can save on marketing. They can save, like, you got somebody that has all these followers and they actually follow The Rock, you don't gotta spend a whole lot of money on commercials as much, because it's like, he's gonna tell you what's going on. I know exactly what's going on in Jumanji. I haven't seen a commercial just because I follow The Rock on Instagram and Twitter, and he'll tell, like, we're doing this and this person showed up. Like, Kevin Hart the same way. Like, if you can use your social media, and the people who, like Vin Diesel, it's the same way, then you're fine. It's the ones who can't use it where they run into trouble. And it's kind of like, you have to know, like, John Cena has an Instagram, and all he does is Instagram random things. And this is the most hilarious thing in the world. It's kind of like, you know, he has all these followers. It's rarely pictures of him. He's rarely saying anything. He just takes pictures of stuff. And it's kind of like, when he says something on social media, he knows, like, John Cena knows how to handle social media. Like, he will not put a foot wrong these days. He's very corporate and smooth on how he does things. And it says a lot where he can do R-rated movies and get, you know, Fruity Pebble commercials, like, hand in hand, and they work fine, because it's kind of like, he knows how to navigate those waters. And that's why he is different, why he succeeded and people like CM Punk and Randy Orton didn't, because they put their foot in their mouths. And it's like,
well, CM Punk's not exactly doing all that bad for himself. So,
but he could, yeah. No, but he yeah, but
well,
he
except when it comes to MMA, but
yeah, but even he would say he could do better. But it's the whole thing. Yeah. Like, he wanted to be the top guy, but he wanted to do the Make a Wish stuff. He didn't want to. Could you see him going flying all the way to China and doing a conference in China about
Punk,
the network?
Punk said he used to do the Make a Wish stuff all the time. That was one of his big things, was that WWE only promoted when John Cena did it. But he's like, all of us do it.
Let me rephrase it. Not like he would do it, but does he seem like, because Randy Orton always complained about doing it, even though he did it. More it's like, could you see CM Punk being the face of a company based on his personality?
All right. And this isn't my view of it. This is honestly how I think people still view stuff. Because of the way he looks. When he cut his hair, I know they've decorated Corey Graves up in a suit. But I think with CM Punk, no, because of all the tattoos he has. And again, that's not my view of it. I don't care. I would easily listen to that. Because he's well-spoken. He can be eloquent when you get into some of his past interviews. Now, though, it almost seems like he's even more standoffish than he used to be, which I think is very strange when he's supposed to be happier.
Yeah.
So, no, in that respect, no, I can't see that. Where you got someone like John Cena, who I don't believe even has a tattoo anywhere.
Yeah. And here's it's not necessarily the tattoos. I mean, because The Rock has plenty, but it's kind of like how it's done. It's more like
Rock's also looks like a superhero, where CM Punk just looks like a guy that I go to shows with.
And I was going to bring out, it's not only that, it's kind of like how you present yourself. It's where CM Punk might be the nicest guy in the world, but he always comes off like a dickhead.
Yeah.
But not in a likable way. It's like he's likable to the type of guy that, you know, likes comics and likes the underdog and look up for himself. But to like the average person, it's like, get this asshole off my TV. Like, that's not likable. Like, it's a different between, like, because him and Daniel Bryan both portray assholes, but Daniel Bryan is likable.
Yeah.
And CM Punk is not.
That's so funny that you say it that way, because that always endeared me to Punk. And I know Kevin Owens is kind of doing this, but it's in character. Like, people say stuff to him, and he just shoots them down and then blocks them. I think that's hilarious. But that was always something that endeared me to Punk, because, yeah, he came across as surly, he came across as a dick, but he never really had, he was never on the wrong side of things. And obviously, you know, his big interview, leaving WWE, people have different opinions. But I always thought that was more honest than like a John Cena type. You know, but that's my view of it. Where John Cena, but look where I am, and look where John Cena is too. I mean, I've taken away athletic ability, obviously. You know, he knows how to play that game, and we got to get out of here soon. But it's like I watch Total Bellas, and I am dumbfounded he's on that show. And I'm not convinced that's the real John Cena, obviously, because why would WWE want that version of him on the show? He's borderline OCD. He's stiff as hell. There's almost no charisma from him. I mean, it's shocking to me on that show.
But it's the same thing. It's kind of like the John Cena that you see in WWE, it ain't really John Cena. It's just him. It's like a percentage of him. Because I remember when he was on Total Divas show, and he came off almost like a damn pimp. Like, no, we ain't getting married. Yeah. And this why, and we ain't having kids because I went through this. I'll buy you a Range Rover. You got to sign an NDA. Take it or leave it. Like, that's not hero talk, but that's, you know, grown man talk that's been through that life. You would expect Randy Orton saying something like that. And then you see John but then you think about, you know, goofball John Cena, and then you see him in R-rated comedies, like, doing well. It's like, you wouldn't expect that John Cena either. Here's my thing with the whole CM Punk thing. It's like, I understand the appeal, because it's always like, you know, people always root for the underdog that's fighting the systems. Like, he liked the same thing other people like. He fought the system and kind of won. He got the pretty girl and stuff. All those things are fine. My whole thing is kind of like, you can't get on The Rock doing what he did and then you do the same thing. It's always come off hypocritical. It's this whole, like, you know, and it's.
Well, that's why I said at the beginning. That's why he kind of lost me at the end of that stuff.
And I always looked like the CM Punk character is like somebody that gets the dunk on the 8-foot rim, where
on a toddler.
It's like, you know, he gets to say
totally satisfying.
Like, you know, like that whole, and we can go after this, the whole pipe bomb thing. Like, you know, people talk about how great it was. Like, yeah, it's great, but he gets to do that. Nobody else gets to do that. Like, it's easy to stand out when you get to, you know, quote unquote, talk about, you know, The Rock being a kiss ass and John Cena being a corporate guy and hoping Vince McMahon dies and running out Triple H and stuff because a certain fan base likes that. But keep in mind, all those people he talked about were baby faces at the time. Every single one of them. And it's like,
Triple H wasn't.
No, yes, Triple H was. No, back in that time, because like Triple H, the authority wasn't a thing. Triple H was like the lovable guy that was, he just finished doing his DX stuff. He wasn't hated.
That was right around the same time. That's crazy.
Yeah, like Triple H wasn't like, they weren't like Steph and them were less execs. They weren't even like TV characters anymore. Like last time you really saw them was when they were either fighting off Randy Orton or doing that DX nonsense. But they were like, oh, the lovable guys behind the scenes and blah, 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 blah. Vince definitely was a babyface then. It's like, why is he in, like, why is he running down the Rock? Like, what the Rock ever do to anybody? It's kind of like he's saying that stuff that sounds cool to that certain type that has an observer, you know, mm-hmm. newspaper coming down, and it sounds blah, 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 blah. And he can say, oh, I'm not wrestling Paul Levesque because I want to, you know, I'm shooting. And say he says all the stuff that we would say on message boards. But he's the only person that gets to say that. Like, because it's kind of like if he gets to say that and nobody else does, like, how this, yeah. That's, I mean, cool that you can say it, but it's not really, like, if Vince letting you say it and not letting anybody else say it, that's not really that impressive.
That's the thing, too, is I think a lot of people don't realize that he didn't exactly clear it with everybody, but he even said he knew what he could and couldn't say. You know, and when he went out, you know, he knew where the line was, he knew what to say, where to draw it, and all that. So it was off the cuff, but with reason, and then also with, you know, some guidelines. It, I think people got lost on that whole thing.
Yeah, because it's no way in hell, like, if it wasn't, that mic got cut off a lot quicker. Like, we really think that sliding through Kevin, like, Kevin shaky cam done, and Vince, like, oh, I'm going to tell you this, what, he took the mic away, they don't know how to cut off a mic, like.
Yeah, exactly.
This ain't TNA, like, they ain't Dixie Carter back there in the gorilla position running that, like, they already talked about that, and I don't want
to
talk
about
that.
No, we have to leave. So, yes. I'm not leaving on that note. So, it's funny, I just, as we're wrapping up, I turned on AMC's doing Walking Dead marathon leading up to Sunday. Mm-hmm. And we were watching one of the episodes yesterday, and I was like, dead, 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 dead. It is amazing the turnover the show had in the first few seasons compared to now. So, yeah. Anyways, not an original thought, but it was just kind of fun to go back and see all that stuff. So, but yeah, let's get out of here. I got to talk to you about something off the air real quick, and then we can get out of here totally. So, thanks for listening, everybody. The subscription is finally fixed. 2 weeks in a row it worked. I'm hoping I'm not jinxing it, because today's the third day. We're going to try it. So, Stitcher, iTunes, I don't know if it goes, if Google has a subscription service, whatever. Look for Stunt Granny. You get everything. You get us, if you like us. You get OPA, which is Kevin and Ken, talking about a bunch of goofy shit. Great ad, I know. And then you get the Stunt Granny audios, which are rotating cast of characters talking mostly about wrestling, unless Sheed and I are on, and we just barrel through and talk about whatever we want. So listen to all those. Stunt Granny on Twitter and on Facebook. And then, like I said, some German guy has a Stunker any Instagram, which I have come around and think that's kind of funny now. So, I'm out of here. I'm Jeremy. I'll let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and I got nothing. We are out.